Pleased to welcome to the show John Gasway, college basketball writer with ESPN.com ahead of tonight's national title game. John, we appreciate you taking some time to join us. How are you today?
I'm good. Thank you for having me.
Hey, I want to get to tonight's game, but I have to go back to Saturday. What'd you think? What was your big takeaway or two with Gonzaga and the overtime win Suggs shot against UCLA?
Just what a phenomenal spectacle and event that game was. You know, the bargain we make with a single elimination tournament is sometimes there's some pretty wacky outcomes in the early rounds. And, you know, it's nothing but an entire tournament filled with what in NBA terms would be game sevens. But when you've got a team like Gonzaga trying to do something that hasn't been done in 45 years, and it all comes down to what is going to happen, you know, on this one play, both at the end of regulation and then at the end of overtime, the consequences are just incredible. And everyone was correct, I think, to call it one of both. Greatest games in tournament history. It was just well played by both teams. Were making shots and taking care of the ball. There were no interruptions late. There were no timeouts or reviews. It was just a joy to watch. And I think, same as last words, depending on what happens tonight, I think it'll be the signature moment of this tournament.
Yeah, where do you think that shot ranks in tournament lore when it comes to Leitner and Drew and Villanova from a few years ago, and how greatly will the legacy of that shot be affected by what happens tonight?
It's up there. It is equal to Leitner because, for one thing, it was one round later. You know, Leitner was in the Elite Eight. This was at the Final Four. This is a team that is undefeated, a number one seed, and the overall number one seed. This is way up there. I want to say almost equal to, you know, what Chris Jenkins did or what Gordon Hayward almost did. This is really, really up there.
John Gasway is with us, ESPN.com, author of the book Miracles on the Hardwood, which I think is appropriately timed as well. We'll get to that, John. But now Gonzaga has a chance to do it. So does Baylor, though. I mean, is it appropriate we get this matchup, Gonzaga versus Baylor, the top two teams we thought most of the season, and here they are at the end, both one seeds, of course?
And definitely the top two teams, you know, regardless of where the NCAA had put them, and it is true that they are the top two seeds, they are effectively the teams that are playing the best at the end. You don't always get that sense with the final two teams in the national championship game. This year we have that, and it's I love it when two number one seeds play. That's usually a great game. And I fully expect tonight to be, you know, close and suspenseful right to the end. I could be wrong, but I don't expect either team to be able to pull away from the other. These are the two best teams in the country, and they can get in the way of each other. Neither team is going to find it easy to do what they want to do against this opponent.
How comfortable will Baylor be playing to Gonzaga's pace if the Bears need to speed things up?
Yeah, they'll be fine. You know, for one thing, the Bears have a much much lengthier rotation. In some ways, Drew has come to prefer a couple of his bench players to a couple of his starters here in the tournament. So, I mean, they'll be fine personnel-wise. They'll be fine talent-wise and style-wise. I don't see pace being a major concern for either team. The UCLA Gonzaga case was a little extreme because UCLA definitely likes to walk the ball up, but Baylor is more flexible that way, and they'll of course take fast break opportunities if they're given, but they will be focused first and foremost on trying to slow down Gonzaga on that electric break of theirs.
We're talking to John Gasway, ESPN.com. What's the biggest strength for Baylor, would you say, going into this matchup against the Zags?
The biggest strength throughout the entirety of the tournament, and they put a couple new spins on this against Houston that we can talk about, but throughout the five-game run, what they've been able to do is get turnovers from everybody, and that's very impressive because they played a series of teams. Really, every major conference team they've played has been excellent in taking care of the ball. And it hasn't mattered. It starts with Davion Mitchell, you know, National Defensive Player of the Year. I loved it on Saturday night when on the telecast he was compared to Deion Sanders. He takes away a whole part of the floor that you don't even bother to try and score on. And I thought that was a perfect image. He is that much of a disruptor, and they've got other guys that that get steals as well. So, you know, one of the things that I'll would be watching closely tonight, which you would never watch before because it's just, you know, normal and fine. Gonzaga does, you know, of course, a good job taking care of the ball. They're one of the great offenses ever. But tonight, for the first time perhaps all season, you need to keep an eye on Gonzaga's turnover rate. How many times do they get away? Because that's how great Baylor has been.
How do you expect Baylor to try and defend Drew Timmy on the inside? He's been fantastic throughout this entire tournament run.
Yeah, this gets back to the starter versus reserve distinction. You know, Drew is sticking with his starters, but actually Mark Vidal is averaging less than 20 minutes a game in the tournament. That's mostly been on account of foul trouble. And, of course, he was in foul trouble against Houston, even in a blowout. But that would figure to be, famous last words again, a tough matchup for Baylor with Vidal at 6'5". Going against Timmy, who has, you know, I want to say he's been close to unstoppable. And I'm drawing a blank now, trying to think of a comparable, you know, high volume post scorer in the Big 12 that Baylor has seen, you know, kind of Derek Culver, but even more so. Timmy is very much the featured scorer, and he's generating a lot of assists. They run a lot of the offense through him. So that could be a tough matchup, and I would not be surprised to see a heavy dose, as indeed we have already in the tournament, of Sean Wojciechowski, because he will definitely have a role to play.
John Gazaway is with us, ESPN.com, and we talked about Suggs and the shot. What do you think just overall of Jalen Suggs as a player? He's been terrific as a freshman and is a projected top five pick in the draft, but his overall game, what have you thought?
Yeah, the most astonishing thing imaginable is that he actually he one-upped himself. I mean, just 15 minutes before he made one of the most historic shots of all time, he had a sequence where, you know, he blocked Cody Riley's shot at point-blank range, a much, you know, longer player, blocked him at the rim, recovered the ball, and threw a full-court bounce pass, hit Drew Timmy in stride for a dunk, and then Timmy had the effrontery, I love this, after, you know, he was just delivered the ball on a silver platter, and he was all alone, and he dunked, he did his mustache salute, and I'm like, come on, I could have scored if I got that incredible assist from one of the greatest freshmen ever. Suggs is just remarkable, and, you know, I really don't put too much stock in whether he's chosen, you know, two or three, one, you know, he'll be way up there, but just a remarkable performer and doing amazing things during the tournament. The blessing that Gonzaga has is he's just one of many.
I kind of want to take a step back, and for UCLA, where does this program go moving forward? The expectations are obviously going to stay high. They were high this year, but was this a team that just found its groove late, or is there enough there for Mick Cronin to build on this leading into next season?
Yeah, if he can keep what he has, then this is the easy Final Four pick for 2022, because obviously, you know, by the time they got down to their short late season rotation for various reasons, no seniors seeing minutes, and that's a good thing if you can hang on to everybody. This offseason will be wild for college basketball in any number of ways, starting with, you know, the transfer portal and also the extra year of eligibility. So I'm not writing my top 25 yet, but, you know, from what we saw from Juzang, he was literally a Kemba figure in terms of how many shots he was taking and how many he was making and winning all these close games. I mean, he richly deserves the comparison to what UConn was doing in 2011. The Bruins just came up, you know, one game short. But, I mean, that's how good Juzang was during the tournament. And you can build around a figure like that. My goodness, you can. And, yeah, if he can, Mick Cronin can manage to hang on to everybody, this is absolutely a team to be reckoned with next season.
Yeah, John, is the way too early top 25 list that will be coming out, are they borderline impossible in the spring trying to project ahead because of what the offseason college basketball is going to be?
Yeah, they are very popular, and they will come out, and yeah, there will be people enraged, you know, talking, oh, how can you overlook my team? And it's just a fun exercise because nobody knows any, you know, I mean, this player is going to say, well, I'm staying, and this player is going to say, I'm leaving. You know, last year, nobody had Illinois to take an obvious case. Everybody thought, you know, DeSumo and Coburn would both leave. Well, they both came back. So, you know, they suddenly went from outside the top 25 to like in everybody's top five. So that will happen, you know, on steroids this year, with every team being cut. But yeah, they're fun and they're harmless as long as we know not to take them too seriously.
Well, John, do you have an idea how it plays out tonight with Gonzaga and Baylor?
Yeah, I'm on the record, as are we all at ESPN.com. Our editors dragged us kicking and screaming to predictions. So I said that Gonzaga would win a close one, and I was a little lower in my final score than a lot of others. I know many are expecting a high scoring game, kind of like Gonzaga and UCLA was even in regulation. I think we might see something more in the high 70s, but who knows? I do think that Gonzaga has enough ways to still score, even though I'm really looking forward to seeing who Mitchell is guarding. I know that person will be miserable, but they've got other ways to hurt you, and I think it should be just enough for the Zags tonight.
We'll see what happens tonight. John, before you go, read John's work, ESPN.com. You had your book come out just a few weeks ago, Miracles on the Hardwood, the Hope and a Prayer Story of a Winning Tradition in Catholic College Basketball. There might be a Catholic team winning a title tonight in Gonzaga, but tell folks about your book.
Yeah, my book might need a new chapter at the end if a Catholic team pulls in Indiana in 1976. That's kind of newsworthy, but... Yeah, I wrote a history of Catholic college basketball. It starts with Naismith and ends with the 2020 tournament getting canceled. It opens with an interview with Sister Jean, and I hope it's a good read. Give it a try, everybody.
Miracles on the Hardwood is the book by John Gazaway, writing at ESPN.com as well. Hey, John, always appreciate the time. Enjoyed talking to you today about tonight's game. Hopefully we get a good one. Thank you again for joining us today.
Thanks so much for having me. Take care.